On the show today, it takes time. And Earthlings, so far we've been talking about the 24/7, 365 days a year kind of time. Get ready for something different.
Thrusters have been re-enabled. We will control our attitude on shoot. We are decelerating.
This is Mission Control at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, NASA's robotics headquarters.
Phase, come back again with wrist mode dynamics.
Wrist mode is nominal.
It's August 2012, and for the Curiosity rover that's been headed to Mars, it's landing day.
We're down to 86 meters per second at an altitude of 4 kilometers.
Rows of engineers are stationed at computers. The landing director is pacing.
Flight EDL, we've got some Twitter warnings.
Tensions are high.
We found a nice flat place. We're coming in ready for Skycrane.
They've spent years designing and programming the rover to land safely. Now they can only watch as the data come in.
You have to wait. You have to wait patiently. It's very hard to wait on landing day.
That's Nagi Cox.
And I am an engineer at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. And I am the deputy team chief of the engineering operations team for the Mars 2020 rover.
In the last two decades, NASA has put three rovers on Mars. Nagi has worked on all of them. And in 2012, she's there in Mission Control, watching as the rover slowly descends.
New jump is good.
And finally...
touchdown confirmed. Proceed on Mars.
But now, for Nagi and her team of engineers, the clock really starts ticking.
You know, we're landing with a multi-billion dollar asset that is priceless on the surface of Mars, and we want to make use of every minute.
Which means putting the rover on a very strict schedule.
Power is a very important resource on Mars. So the rover sleeps at night because it takes a lot of power to do anything at night. So the rover basically wakes up at about 9:30 in the morning and receives instructions from the Earth and starts working at approximately 10 a.m. and will do activities that we have told her to do. But we are not joysticking this rover. It's too far. Then, you know, at around 5:30 p.m., the rover finishes her day, and basically when she goes to sleep, we get the data, see how her day went, and now we have the information to plan her next day.
Nagi can start crunching the rover's data while the rover sleeps. But don't think of it as your typical night shift, because working on Mars time is a little different.
So a Martian day, which we call a sol, is longer than an Earth day. Our planet rotates in 24 hours relative to the sun. Mars rotates at a different rate. So a Martian day is approximately 24 hours and 40 minutes.
Nagi Cox continues from the TED stage.
So in order to come to work on the Earth at the same time every day on Mars, then we have to come into work on the Earth 40 minutes later every day in order to stay in sync with Mars. So that's like moving a time zone every day, right? So one day you come in at 8, the next day 40 minutes later at 8:40, the next day 40 minutes later at 9:20, the next day at 10. So you keep moving 40 minutes every day until soon you're coming to work in the middle of the night, the middle of the Earth night. Right, so you can imagine how confusing that is. Hence the Mars watch. This watch has been the weights have been mechanically adjusted so that it runs more slowly, right? And we didn't start out, I got this watch in 2004 when Spirit and Opportunity, the rovers back then, we didn't start out thinking that we were going to need Mars watches, right? We thought, okay, we'll just have the time on our computers and it on the mission control screens, and that would be enough. Yeah, not so much. Because we weren't just working on Mars time, we were actually living on Mars time. And we got just instantaneously...
I mean, it sounds like, oh, it's just a 40-minute difference. But over a 90-day mission, that can add up and I assume be pretty disorienting.
Yeah, so the minute you have to shift your sleep cycle and are moving in time, you also need to eliminate the cues of what is Earth time. So it started with shades and blinds and things to keep us from seeing the Earth daylight. Because if we had rotated to the point where it was night on Mars, but daylight on the Earth, we didn't want the daylight to come in and mess up our body clocks. And not just our body clocks, but also our mental sense of where we were.
Hmm.
And it even started to spread into our language. I distinctly remember someone walking up to me and saying, "Hey, Nagi, we need to do this activity on the vehicle tomorrow." And I absolutely said, which tomorrow? Tomorrow tomorrow or Mars tomorrow?
So how do you solve for that?
So a lot of this was tied to how can we get our jobs done in the most efficient way? And again, that was coming up with words that would make it clear quickly, you know, what planet we were talking about. Were we talking about the Earth or Mars? And so if a day on Mars is a Sol, then tomorrow becomes Nexter Sol. And yesterday becomes yester Sol.
So we have the watches and the language. And one of the things that we all discovered is you can get anywhere in Los Angeles at 3 a.m. when there's no traffic. So we would get off work and we didn't want to go home and bother our families and we were hungry. So instead of going, you know, locally to eat something, we'd go, wait, there's this great all night deli in Long Beach and we can get there in like 10 minutes. So we would drive down. It was like the 60s, right? No traffic. We would drive down there and the restaurant owners would go, "Who are you people? And why are you at my restaurant at 3 a.m? So they came to realize that there were these packs of Martians roaming the LA freeways in the middle of the night. And we did actually start calling ourselves Martians. So those of us who were on Mars time, we would refer to ourselves as Martians and everyone else as Earthlings. And that's because when you're moving a time zone every day, you start to really feel separated from everyone else. You're literally in your own world.
I can only imagine that that had kind of a wonderful effect on your relationships with your colleagues. Like having worked in a newsroom, there's a lingo, right? You all speak the same language and there's a shorthand and you can move through information so much more quickly. Did it have that? Did it bring you together in some ways as a team when you started to be living on a different planet, at least in terms of what time it was and the vocabulary that you used?
It absolutely did, in ways that we didn't expect. The isolation, the sense of separation from even your family, your friends, other colleagues who aren't working this mission, sets in pretty quickly. And most of that is due to the time. You are very quickly shifted from them. Your experience becomes extremely focused on what happens on Mars. You don't have any idea what time it is on Earth because we're trying to get rid of the cues. You don't even remember what day it is on Earth. You remember what Sol it is because your mind is constantly projecting you to Mars. So the people that you're sharing this experience with will always be the humans that you experienced Mars time with.
You know, this episode is all about topics or things that you cannot rush. They take time. That's, you know, from sloths to bridges made of roots to the amount of time that we need to sleep to be healthy human beings. And I guess I wonder, you know, for me, these conversations are making me want to slow down, to not rush things. And I wonder if there are some lessons from when you've been on Mars time that you've taken back to when you are on Earth time.
certainly Mars time reminds you of, it makes you not take time for granted. Mm. You look at time differently because we've changed it. And when you are someplace on Mars, exploring for all of humankind, it is a different rhythm. We are there to look around, to explore, to go slowly, to get our job done, which does mean we have distance to cover, but the ability to get from one location to another, but then to stop and look at what we're doing. It is the rhythm of humanity scale exploration.
That's Nagi Cox. She's an operations engineer at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory and a deputy team chief for the Mars 2020 Perseverance rover, which is set to land February 18th. You can learn more about the mission at jpl.nasa.gov, and you can watch Nagi's full talk at TED.com.